This is the Lancer Radio Network, streaming live on www.lancerradio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds. Dot Cannon here, and this is Over Coffee. Well, I have some not too terrific news for you, but I also have some good news. The not too terrific news, unfortunately, is that PCC's semester abroad in Beijing has been canceled due to lower enrollment than they might have hoped for. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people couldn't afford it but would have loved to have gone. However, the great news is there are still scholarships and some ways that you can get to study abroad in China if you would like to. And joining me right now is Michelle Washington, who is here at PCC. Do I remember correctly that you are an art major, Michelle?
Yes, I'm actually double majoring in international relations and fine art.
And we're at Rose Princess a few years ago.
Yes, 2011 Royal Court.
Well, it's an honor to get to talk to you and welcome.
Thank you very much.
I understand that you went to semester abroad in Beijing a couple of years ago. Please tell me about this.
Yes, 2 years ago, I had the privilege of going with Pasadena City College to the Beijing Study Abroad program. We were there for about 3 months, and it was an amazing experience.
Take me through that step by step. How did you first decide to go on that trip?
Well, I was first taking my Chinese 1 class, and everyone was talking about the study abroad trip, and I said, well, I mean, that'd be fun to go on, but I don't know if that'll work. But my teacher continued to push me to go. And so I was able to raise the funds miraculously. And I went, and it's been one of the best decisions of my life.
Now, you raised the funds, and I'm going to just have you take me through it for anybody that might want to do this in the future when they get enough people. Did they have pre-orientation or anything before you went?
Well, we had a couple of different meetings with all the people that were going on the trip and orientation about what to bring and visas and passports and how to get everything situated for the trip and availability for financial aid and opportunities like that as well.
Let's talk a little bit about financial aid, because I'm sure that's what kept people from going this time. What was available?
Well, for me, I was able to use most of my financial aid covered it. I got $4,000 for the trip, and the trip was $5,000, so
that is excellent.
Definitely. So I had a several months to be able to raise the $1,000 or so that I needed beyond that, and any other spending money for that. And then while I was over there, I was able to tutor a little girl in English to make some extra income.
How much fun that must have been.
Her name was Wawa, so it was a lot of fun.
Tell me about this. What was that like? You met her the first time, and you were teaching her English. Where did you start?
Well, a lot of the Chinese parents, they know that English is such a viable language to their children becoming very successful. So they come to the international universities at Capital Normal where we stay, and they petition different students to tutor their kids and for different pay and things like that. So I met with a lady, and she had a daughter walking distance from the campus. So I went and met Wawa, who's 2 years old. And so we basically just played Legos and sang different songs and interacted just on a regular interaction basis as you would any two-year-old, only she was learning English while still learning Mandarin.
How amazing. And she's going to grow up to be bilingual because she learned it that young.
Oh, definitely. She has a better chance of picking it up a lot easier now.
Now, you'd been taking Chinese, but what new words or idioms did you learn from Wawa and from anybody around that while you were there?
Well, she used to call me Jie Jie Michelle, which is big sister.
Big sister, that's
Michelle,
cute.
So that was cool. And I think the main thing that I learned really quickly was my numbers, because I was shopping a lot. So you learn your numbers really quick, and too expensive, which is Tai Gui La, or cheap is pingyi, but you never tell them that it's too cheap, because bartering is the way that you do things when you're purchasing out there. So it was a little bit less, and you figure out how to get really good deals.
That must have been a little bit interesting the first time you went out shopping and realized that you were going to bargain for things opposed to simply, okay, here, and you pay for it.
Yeah, because when you try to convert it back to American currency, you're like, okay, that's a pretty decent amount. And then you have friends saying, oh no, that's really expensive. Like, I can't believe you paid that much for it. And you're like, oh, okay. So then you start bartering, and you realize how inexpensive you can get things for, really.
Bargaining or not, how is the standard of living in Beijing? Is it more or less expensive, or about the same as here?
I think for residential, like if you're going to live there and have a house there, it's a lot more expensive, I think, especially with just having a 2-bedroom or 3-bedroom apartment. it's equivalent to a $2 million house out here. So it's really pretty expensive to live there. But as students, it's not too expensive. Actually, our accommodations were quite nice, and they even use our dorms as hotels for Westerners to come visit, because our dorms are even nicer than the Chinese versions.
So. Nice. Where were you staying?
We were staying at the Beijing Capital Normal University in Beijing, China, or Shoshida, as they like to call it. And we were there at the international dorms, so we were there with people from Turkey, Iraq, Japan, Korea, just people from all over the world. And the one thing we had in common is that we wanted to learn Chinese and learn more about the culture in an emerged situation.
What were some of your best lessons besides working with your little two-year-old girl in Chinese culture while you were there?
I think just a great personal lesson was that people aren't too different from us. We think that, oh, they're so different over there because they're in China, but people at the end of the day just want the same thing. They want a good life for their families, and they want a better life for the people that they care about. And I think that was one of the greatest things I learned.
I'm thinking of teaching a little two-year-old to be bilingual. That would be wanting a better life for your daughter right there.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Just the sacrifice, especially because her husband was out working most of the time. So I only met him the one time because he was out working so that they could afford to live in one of the nicer areas of Beijing.
That's humbling to realize how expensive that is. Wow.
Definitely, definitely. It was very surprising. And they're about on the 23rd floor of of an apartment complex. So,
and do I recall correctly that families may have one child in China? Is that right?
Well, yes. The regulation is that if you're a single child and your spouse is a single child, you can have up to two. If you have a girl first and you want a son to maintain your airline, you can have up to two children. But beyond that, there's a financial penalty you have to pay. I think it's around $6,000 if you want to have children beyond that.
Is that a one-time thing or yearly?
I think it's the one-time commitment if you want to maintain having your children. And I know some scary stories about people that couldn't pay it, and so they had like forced abortions on them, but that's another story.
That certainly is scary. It's also odd to think that if you have a daughter, you're going to go, oh, I got to try harder next time or something like that. That seems very different to me.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's very foreign concept, just the value that women are seeing. But the cool thing is that women are becoming more and more valuable to the culture of China, especially with because of the contrast in how many males there are versus women. Bachelors will even have billboards petitioning for marriage because the competition is so tense for women out there. And so it's very interesting to see the shift in the value of women in China now. And to see with education and the integration of cultures and having that interaction with the Western world, the increasing value in women and them stepping up into places of leadership, owning their own companies, being heads of churches and things like that in China, which I had to go on a missions trip actually last August. And actually, out of the four churches that we went to, three of them were run by women as the head pastors. So just seeing the appreciation of women in that respected position of authority in China is, I think, one of the coolest things.
That is very exciting, actually, because you'll read something like The Good Earth and realize in ancient China, there was no such thing. People were just not valuing women like they do now. How recently has this shift been?
Well, I think with just the integration of Western culture and even the church especially, I see a lot of that shift taking place because seeing that all people are created equal and having that value placed on them, it's bringing a lot more light and seeing the value and the positivity that having morals and values, especially with the booming economy in China, I think it's so viable. They're seeing that, okay, these people that have these moral basis aren't cheating the people. They're doing business with ethics and they're trying to not only just get the money out of it, they're trying to give a service out of it as well. And the government is even seeing the benefits of that. So they're becoming more open to different Western ideas in terms of rights and things like that, and the value of ethics and morality, especially in the workplace.
Now, ethics and morality over there versus what you probably see in Pasadena all the time. That had to have been a real interesting change.
Yeah, definitely. I think just being in a culture where there's so much restriction, but there's so many people, you also see that the government doesn't necessarily have time to monitor every single person over there. So there's a lot of liberties that I think the government's not too focused on. So there's some more freeing aspects in certain senses, just because you can't monitor every single person when you have over a billion people to monitor. But I think it's just different views on what's free over there. I mean, there's no Facebook, there's no YouTube, but the news is still reporting. There's still news. The people still figure out what's going on. They just can't use certain keywords. So I think it's just understanding of communication, how to still get messages across by just using different vernacular.
What do you mean by can't use certain keywords?
Well, just that's what one of the things that they're talking about in on the news is saying that, well, there are certain things that the government will monitor and say, you can't say this, you can't say that. But messages still get across to what's going on. So people aren't completely ignorant as to what's going on.
In fact, when I said that it had to be very different in terms of ethics over there versus here, I was thinking, you know, you think of people getting on the freeway and kind of ignoring everybody else and being onto themselves. I bet you saw a lot more people reaching out to others over there with the lack of social media.
Well, it's a little bit different. I mean, the freeway situation was a little different. I'd say the drivers are equivalent to Los Angeles drivers, actually. Well, I mean, with 1,000 new drivers entering the streets every single day, 1,000 new cars, and there's actually a lottery to get a license plate number because there's so many people having the finances to get cars. It's not the same bike-to-bike place that it was maybe 10 years ago. Most people have cars now, and so that's creating a little bit of a fun situation in terms of traffic and even the taxi drivers. I thought I was in a Fast and Furious taxi driver car my first trip. But you get used to it. You just learn that cars have the right of way, so you have to run really fast to get to the other side.
Probably managed to stay in shape quite a lot over there. You yes. And I are listening to Michelle Washington, who's a double major here at PCC, and we're talking about her previous trip and semester abroad in Beijing. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Meanwhile, I'd like to remind you the Faculty of the Visual Arts in the School of Visual Media and Performing Arts host the 62nd Annual Visual Arts Scholarship. This is the Lancer Radio Network, streaming live on www.lancerradio.org, Pasadena Campus Sounds. And this is Dot Cannon with Over Coffee, today talking with Art and International Relations double major Michelle Washington. We've been talking about semester abroad in Beijing, which was Michelle's experience 2 years ago. I had just heard that traffic over there is, heaven help those poor folks, worse than over here from Michelle. But what I haven't had a chance to ask you is, what is daily life like when you're over there day to day? Now you're in the International University and you're going to be taking your classes. What's that like?
Well, you wake up because your roommate wakes you up to the sound of My Little Pony. And then you get up, you get ready, you get your books together, and you walk through the hallways to your classroom, which is right next door, which is pretty good because you don't have to wake up too early comparatively. But you go over there and you have your Chinese lesson. You have it Monday through Thursday in the mornings. And then pretty much after that, if you have your business classes or your Chinese literature and civilization classes, those are later in the evening. So in between that time, you're probably traveling to Wumei, which is the little supermarket down the street, and you get your boba or your milk tea on the way there, and you go shopping for groceries, or you feel free to explore. You take the bus over to Dongyuan, which is the zoo market where the zoo is, and you either get lunch or just walk around and explore. which I think is pretty cool. You start memorizing all the bus stops, which is pretty cool.
How were the people when they saw that you were from a different part of the world? Were they very helpful if you'd ask directions or something?
Oh, yes. Oh, they love foreigners in China. Most of them probably haven't seen people with full afros like mine. So they're very excited to take pictures, especially when you go to place more touristy places, like where people are just visiting for the first time, even the people that live in China, because it's so huge. And they see you and they're like, oh, can I take your picture? They say it in Mandarin. They're like, Zhao Pian Ma. And you're like, sure, sure. And it's kind of like being a celebrity over there. So that was pretty cool. And everyone's just staring like, oh, you're from America. So I thought it was pretty, the people were wonderful there, especially even going out in the nightlife. They're just very welcoming. Want to see how well you can dance. So,
oh, that's neat. How did they like dancing over there? What kind of dances?
Oh, just any dances. I mean, there's different like lounges or clubs that are all over, especially in different areas of Beijing. They have the place where all the tourists live, and so all the embassies, and they're all located in the same area. So all the different people from Europe and other parts of Africa are all gathered together. And a lot of them speak English, so that's helpful, especially when you're just getting acquainted to China and the Chinese language. Having that little, I guess, safety bar to help you along. But it was pretty fun. They play American music over there, so we all have that in common, good music. So, yeah, just normal dancing. They have live music in certain places. There's one called Xio, which was near Guomao that I would go to. That was really fun. They had these people. This one girl, she was actually one of the performers. She was actually from Pasadena. And so we connected on that. So I ended up continuing to go there and made friends with the whole band. They had live music of these different American songs, and everyone just loved it. And it was just relaxing, just a time to talk and get to know different people from around the world.
That sounds like the most wonderful experience, the most enriching one. In what ways have you grown in the most important ways as an artist and probably as a business person for the future?
Well, just understanding different etiquette, I think, is the key understanding. Like when someone hands you a business card, it's not like, oh, this is just going to end up at the bottom of my purse somewhere that I'm like, oh, there's their card. But giving someone your business card is like giving someone a part of you. So you take that with care. So you take it with two hands and you receive it and you treasure that because someone is entrusting that to you. So I think that's one of the things. And even dinner etiquette is make sure you serve the person that's the most important to you. Or in this case, like you'd serve your teacher because they're above you. And just showing that level of honor and respect to the person is very valued there. And I think that having that knowledge definitely transitioned when I returned and had the opportunity to do an internship with East West Bank and going out with the vice president of the marketing department, who is my manager, and the senior VP, and understanding a little bit of that culture and translating that into the business aspect and having that little bit of an advantage because having that understanding, you understand the little tiny bits of etiquette that you took from understanding the Chinese culture better and translating that over here because it still resonates with them and they still see that you took the time to acknowledge that that's a bit of honor for them and you're showing them that honor. And so they see you as a more valuable employer, more valuable asset in that respect.
So take the business card in both hands,
yes.
Serve the person most important to you first. What else would you have to keep in mind when doing business in China?
Just being people of your word. I think there's contracts are more verbal in certain aspects. I mean, with integration and more technology, more written contracts are being assigned. But when you say you're going to do something or you agree to something, it's more taken like, okay, you've given your word. So having that value of like, well, we don't need all these documents and legalities and things like that because your word means something. So therefore, you're going to back up your word.
very much more like it used to be over here. We're on a handshake. You
yes,
could do something in business.
Definitely.
Something I definitely miss seeing. What do you think maybe 10, 20 years from now will be a story that you'll want to tell your kids and 30 years or so from now your grandkids about your time over in Beijing?
I think that about a week before we left for China, Little John was playing at a local club that we went to, and it was my friend's birthday, so we all decided we'd go and celebrate. And so somehow, like after the show and performance, we were got separated because I got asked to go and to hang out with the VIP or whatever, which was just going on stage. I was just glad to get out of the sweaty crowd. So I went up there, and I guess my friends thought that I had left or something. I don't know why they thought I would leave. I never leave. I'm the designator, make sure everyone gets back to the dorm person because I don't drink or any of that stuff. So I was always like, okay, head count, 1, 2, 3, 4. And so I think it was funny they left. And so I said, how am I going to get back to the dorms? It's late at night. But I happened to run into some other people that were from Canada that were staying in the same dorm. So I ended up going with them. But I was like, I don't want to have to like hitchhike with Little John back to the dorms. But I think that was a fun experience, just figuring out and interacting with the people from the dorms that weren't even part of my direct PCC group.
That sounds
so
like
that was an exciting night.
Like something that you will never forget.
Most definitely not.
What would be your advice to somebody who unfortunately can't go this fall semester because the trip was canceled, but I'm sure that the language department will have these trips in the future, somebody that wants to go abroad in the future and spend a semester to Beijing? What would you tell them?
I would just say go for it. Don't let finances be a hindrance or don't look at it as this is too much money, because it's really an investment in your future, especially the way that the economy is going, the way that the world is going, and just the integration, even on Pasadena City College's campus with the influx of students from China coming over here to learn. It's continuing to surround us and grow, and it's not going to get any smaller anytime soon. So having that advantage will set you apart, especially if your background isn't in China. If you're just an American like me, born and raised in Pasadena, I think it was a wonderful opportunity to grow and explore beyond just Pasadena and what I knew. And that's what I really wanted to get from the trip. And I got way more than I ever bargained for.
And in that sense, in what way would the person you are today be different than Rose Princess Michelle Washington, whom I saw before this trip happened?
I think just having that this experience helps me on a daily basis. I mean, I work at McCormick & Schmick's, and so sometimes we get customers who are from China or they speak Chinese, and being able to throw in like a "hao chi ma" just really impresses people. And that's actually how I got my internship. So you never know what doors will open because you decided to take a leap. I mean, I was just waiting on a table. I asked them how their food was in Mandarin because I noticed they were speaking Mandarin. And I ended up waiting on the vice president of the marketing department, who had an internship opportunity and was impressed by my Mandarin skills and said, why don't you come on this paid 4-month internship and just learn about our company and use your skills. And so I think that you never know what opportunities are going to open up for you when you take a risk.
Michelle, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Dot.